All right, verse number 11, chapter 15 of Luke. It said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry." Go ahead and be seated, please. Thank you. Again, just a little bit of background. We might remember, going back to verse number 1 and 2, we find that in this particular chapter, the Lord Jesus is really justifying his conduct in receiving sinners. In verse number 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Jesus didn't tell them to go away. He was glad that they came. But what happened? He was ridiculed. Verse number 2, "The Pharisees and scribes," these were the religious people, "murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so Jesus pronounces this parable, which is in three parts, with the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. And in each of these, we find that what he is saying is there's rejoicing when that which is lost is found. And what he's trying to get them to understand is that God is interested in sinners. God's interested in you. God wants something in your life. God wants to save your soul. God wants to make your life well worth living. The willingness of God to receive sinners is abundantly clear, really, throughout the Word of God. But we find that in this particular scripture, it is very amply and very beautifully described. As we find here a son who is lost and then comes back home. And it's a beautiful, wonderful story that you and I can really get a great deal of meaning from. The first two parables are really questions. They're put to us in question form. But this is more of a narrative. And it's a story that is told. And rather than saying what woman, as he starts out in verse number 8, or what man of you is in verse number 4, the Lord this time turns his approach a little bit differently. And he begins to give us this tremendous story. I want us to notice just a couple of things here tonight with a lot of thoughts with it, I guess we could say. First of all, we find here a son that comes to his father and demands some things from him. So here's a son that is demanding from the father. So I just described this, the demand of the son. And first I'd like for us to notice the person of this son, this young man, who he is. What he did was wrong. Let's understand that first of all. Do you have a right to go to your parents and say, I want my inheritance, I want what's yours, I want that now before you die? We don't have that right. Okay? I'm not going to deal with it tonight, okay? I want you to pay attention. Okay. We talked last week. You smile a lot, and it looks like you're goofing off. I like smiles, that one there especially, all right? Just stay with me and then we're good, okay? All righty. And so we got this guy now. He's going to his dad saying, I want what's yours. Basically saying, I can't wait till you die to get what you have. You know? I mean, that'd be like Mary, Nate's coming down tomorrow and he's going to say, Mom, I want you to, hey, I'm the oldest son. I want this stuff. You and Dad, you're going to, you know, I care less about you. You're going to give me this house when you die. I want it now. You know, that's very disrespectful, isn't it? But that's what this son did. Not only that, but we find he's not the oldest son, but he's the second. There's two boys. Now, in the Jewish day, the oldest son had a greater right to inheritance. He would get a double portion. So if there was three boys, basically all you do is he's going to get a double portion. If there's three boys, that would mean he would get, you would divide it into fourths, and he would get two-fourths. The other two boys would get one-fourth each. But here we find there are two boys, so we divide it into threes, and the oldest boy would get two-thirds, and the youngest would get one-third. He says, I want mine. I want it now. And here's the young man who came with this kind of an attitude. He had a lack of respect for rank, for his older brother, for his daddy. Had a lack of respect for authority. And really what it boils down to, this kid has a pride problem. He thinks he deserves everything. Bible has some things to say about pride. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Pride goeth before destruction, says in Proverbs as well. And here are some truths that warn this young man, but he's going to have to learn the hard way. So here's this person, this young man, who has come now demanding of his father. What it means is he's got some priorities wrong. He's got some things mixed up. He doesn't care how it's going to affect others. And so often in our lives, everything's about ourselves. And we don't care how it's going to affect other people. And he's only concerned with his own desires. By the way, as Christians, oftentimes we're the same way. Oftentimes in Christian work, if somebody just lays out and doesn't do their job, somebody's got to pick up the slack, don't they? And oftentimes we just don't care about the others. And so he had his priorities wrong in his life. And how we need to stop and consider this guy. Here's a guy we need to stop and look at. Am I like him in any kind of way? We find also that the motivating cause of all this is he wanted to have fun. He wanted to have fun. I remember a few years ago we had a young person in our church, and the father, the only thing he was concerned about was, did you have fun? Didn't matter if you got anything spiritual from it. Didn't matter if you got anything other than that. Did you have fun? And I thought, my goodness, is that all life is about, is having fun? You know, who doesn't like to have fun? But is that really what life's all about? That's not the right motivation for life. It doesn't work that way. And so that was all he wanted. And it was the unholy pleasures of this world was all he was looking at. The Bible teaches us in the last days that's the way it's going to be. It says they will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And you young people, you live in a society where that is so true of so many people. All it's about is, just having a great time. Who cares if we learn anything? Who cares if we get anything accomplished? Who cares, whatever it is, we just want to have fun. That's a very, very dangerous spot because we're going to see what happens to this young man as a result of that. It's a very, very sad situation. We also find that this young man, he just wanted his rights. He wasn't interested in privileges and he wasn't interested in responsibilities. He said, I'm owed that. I'm owed that. By the way, I'm speaking really heavily to our young folks tonight, but listen, I don't owe you anything. Mom and Dad don't owe you anything. There's a lot of privileges, a lot of things that we want to give. But it's not a matter that you can come up and demand of me. We become like that, and a lot of Christians then become like that with God, and they begin to demand of God. I've heard people say, God, you have to give it to me. Wait a second. I'm going to tell God what to do? I can ask God, but I can't tell Him what to do. Okay? There's a big difference. So here's a young man. He didn't come to his dad requesting. I mean, he comes demanding it. Notice verse number 12. Father, give me. Give me the portion of goods. I want it right now. And we know the reason why. He wanted what? He wanted gratification. He wanted it right now. He didn't have patience to wait. And that's a sad thing. By the way, that's the way of the flesh. We're not willing to wait. We want it. We want it to have it now. My goodness. I tell you, I find myself in this spot once in a while. You ever go to, let's say you go to a grocery store and there's three people in line and you're thinking, where's another checker? I want out of this place. I mean, we want gratified now. I guess we want to be parted with our money quicker. I'm not sure what it is. But we want, you know, we want in, we want out. We want instant all with all this stuff. I mean, everything we do today, we want instant access, instant gratification. But listen, we need to learn that there's a thing called patience. One of the biggest mistakes I find that young people do when they get married is that they move out of their house and they rent an apartment, they rent a little house or whatever it is they get, and they get married and they go out and they got to buy everything that mom and dad has. You know, mom and dad's got some nice stuff, but they don't understand it took mom and dad 20, maybe 25, maybe 30 years to accumulate these things. But they had it all when they did the house. And so now they have to have it. And next thing you know is they've got it, but you know what they have with it? They have a lot of bills. Because there's always payday on everything that we have. Just like this young man is going to have a payday when he runs out of money. And so we need to learn not gratification, but patience in allowing God to bring that about. There are no shortcuts. Let me say this very graphically. Sexual gratification, there's no shortcuts. There's one way to it. It's through marriage. There's no shortcuts to monetary abundance. It's through hard work. You're not going to get there by, you know, just sloughing off. A lot of folks think, well, I'll just play the lottery and get it. Your chances are about one in several million. You know, your chances, by the way, getting struck by lightning are greater than winning the lottery. Did you know that? I don't know if that's comforting or not, but it's the way it is, all right? And so we need to understand that. By the way, Christians, we need to understand too, we need patience in attaining spiritual maturity. But we get so impatient. We're like this young man. We want it right now. So here's a young man. He says, Father, give me the portions of goods that fall to me. This is what's going to be mine. I want it right now. And what do we find? We find that the Father gives it out to him. He gives it to him. A lot of folks have said, why in the world does the Father give it to him? Why does He do that? Here, this man is a picture of God the Father. And here's the truth that we have to learn. Sometimes a good father is going to simply let his children have to learn the hard way. They're just going to have to learn the hard way. One of my children said to me one time, well, I'm going to have to learn it the hard way. Believe me, they did. And wrong attitude to take. God says in Romans chapter 1, three different times, He says He gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them up. What's he saying? He's saying, all right, this is the way you want it. Then, all right, here it is. Take it. It's all yours. Live in all the luxury of it. And find out where it takes you. See where it takes you. I've seen that happen to a lot of folks. See where it takes you. And where it takes you is not where you want to go. Interesting verse found in Psalms referring to the Jews as they left out of Egypt. It says, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. They wanted meat to eat. And said, and tempted God in the desert, and He gave them their request. He sent quails. They had so many quails it was pathetic. But the Bible says, with it sent leanness under their soul. They got simply sick of it. And that's what God allows sometimes in our lives. You say, I'm going to do what God says. I want it my way. I want to have all this fun. I want to have all this stuff and all this. God says, okay, go that direction. You go that direction. And the young man does. I want us to notice, and if there's something I can get across tonight, is in this area right here. It's what happened to the son as a result of this. We find two words I want to use tonight in regards to it. One is, here's a young man that wasted everything that he had. Here's a man that got from his father. His father was wealthy. We can see that by reading the story, realizing the things that took place. I mean, when he does come back, he puts a very expensive ring on him. He takes a robe and puts on him. I mean, we're talking about some very luxurious items. We find he kills the fatted calf. He brings all the neighbors in. We know from the text that he has servants. This is not a average, like most of us, run-of-the-mill kind of person. This is a wealthy man. And so he's got a lot of money in his pocket when he leaves home. But we find he wastes it. And it's not too long until it's gone. And the sinful pleasures of this world rob us very, very quickly. I've never ceased to be amazed at some of our sports stars and the millions of dollars that they make, and how you read them maybe a year or two later, they are bankrupt. How in the world did you spend $10 million in 2 months? What happens? But the pleasures of sin can rob us very, very quickly. And we find that he wants all of it. He takes it and he what? Runs with it. He wants to get far away. Why do a lot of young people want to get far away from home? They don't want anything to remind them that they might be wrong. And so that he won't feel uncomfortable in these pursuits, he gets into a far country. Now I'm going to assume that this young man's a Jewish man. And so here's this Jewish man. He goes down amongst the Gentiles, which is completely wrong for him to do. And he gets among the wrong kind of people. Now he's got money. Everybody likes him. But he gets around the wrong kind of people. He gets to doing the wrong kind of practices. He's doing those things that are not helpful to him. I was thinking about it today. In our culture today, there's probably four things that I can think of that probably ruin people faster than anything else. One of those is drugs. And the number of young people and older people that are just messed up on drugs is absolutely horrifying. And then we have legislators who want to legalize them so that everybody can get them, I guess. And it's just beyond me. And by the way, for me, I think to myself, all right, I cannot control it like I want to, so therefore I guess I should legalize murder. No. It's just wrong, all right? Drugs hurt people. By the way, prescription drugs are not always what they're cracked up to be, let alone that which is considered illegal. But they mess up people's lives. last week, we kind of had a lockdown here. I can tell you exactly why I did not read the papers, but I can guess this. I can feel 100% confident the reason they broke into somebody's home over here, I don't even know whose it was or what exactly took place, but the reason it took place, I can guarantee you, was because they wanted money to buy drugs. Most crimes today being committed have something to do with that. Either to get money to buy it, or a deal gone wrong and somebody trying to get even. That's what a lot of the drive-by shootings are all about. Another one, not a whole lot said about it in our society because so many people are involved with alcohol. It ruins home after home after home. And dads come home drunk, and what happens? Beats up mom. Beats up kids. I mentioned to you a while ago, it was my good friend Al Wells. The very night he got saved, his stepdad got saved too. But the previous week, he sat at his house with a .22 rifle in his hand waiting for his stepdad to come home. He was going to kill him. Because for the last time he had beat up his mother, he wasn't going to let it happen ever again because he came home drunk. Old Dan Allen had been a horrible drunk. And by the grace of God, he never came home. And by the grace of God, the night Al Wells went to church, walked down the aisle to get saved, Dan Allen was in the back. He had no idea he was there. And he got saved the same night. Say that healed up. No, he said, I wanted to kill him, but he didn't. But they later became tremendous friends. God wonderfully, miraculously did some things in their lives. But it almost ruined that home. And it ruins many, many, many homes. And no doubt some of you in this room, you've been firsthand experience of that. You've seen it. It's a horrifying thing. There's another area that we find today that is really, really hurting amongst our young people and those who later get saved, and it's illicit sex. One of the things that Bible school authorities are now telling us is that young men are coming and they've already ruined their lives. They want to go into ministry, but they've already messed it all up. And they're not eligible any longer for the ministry as a result of that. Actually, a couple more I could mention, but one is gambling. Gambling ruins homes. Say, what's wrong with gambling? It's trying to get something for nothing very quickly. And I realize we have gambling establishments in our city. We also have beer joints. Doesn't make it right. Another thing that really, not as much said about it, but it destroys a lot of people health-wise is tobacco. It's very, very harmful. And destroys a lot of folks. By the way, if you've ever seen anybody die of lung cancer as a result of smoking, I don't know if it'd cure you or not if you were, but it's a horrible sight to see. I've seen that. Yes, sir. Not all lung cancers are smokers. That is true. Okay. Yeah, it's not always true, but it's most of the time. Okay? There's also another disease because people drink alcohol. I've seen a man die of that too, cirrhosis of the liver, which you can also get without having been a drunk or ever drinking. But it's a horrible, horrible disease as a result of that. Okay? The other word I want to use is wicked. Down in verse number 30, it says, "But as soon as this thy son was come," this is the older son talking, "which hath devoured thy living with harlots, that has killed for him the fatted calf." Here's a young man that went down and he lived amongst the harlots. A harlot is simply one of those people who sell themselves for the sexual desires of a man. But let's stop and think about this for a few moments. By the way, this can mean for money, but it also for any other pleasure that she may want. And I'm going to tell you this very vividly and very pointedly. There are thousands of girls today who sell out to gain a boy for a time. Girls, if you have to play the harlot to get a guy, he ain't worth it. He's a jerk. If you got to do that to keep him, he ain't worth it. Let him go. He ain't worth it. What that guy that you're going to marry deserves is a young lady who's never been touched by another man. And whatever young man ought to give that girl is the same. Don't expect it out of her, guys, if you don't do the same. And a lot of guys throw away their futures for that same harlot. Proverbs is full of verses discussing this in the first few chapters. And so here's a young man. He wasted all that he had. And then he met with wicked harlots. And what? Bought his so-called love. And we'll look at it next week, Lord willing. But you know where he finds himself? Anybody remember? He's feeding swine. He's in a hog pen. This is a Jew. Hogs are considered very filthy animals to Jewish people. If you ever raised hogs, you would consider them filthy yourself. They're about the smelliest farm animal out there. But seriously, here's a guy, that's where he ends up. And that's a picture of where we end up when we want it right now. We're not willing to wait. We're not willing to allow those who are in authority over us to give us direction and to lead us. And we think we know better. How we need to stop and think. Where's this going to take me? Where's it going to take me? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for the Word of God, how clear it is on some areas. Lord, I thank you for this story that gives us a very vivid picture of the sinfulness that takes place even yet to this day. Lord, I pray for every person in this room, we might have a vivid understanding of where it leads us, how it gets us there. Lord, I pray that you would give us of your wisdom and discernment not to allow it to take place in our lives. And then, oh God, I pray that you allow us next week to come back to this and see what you do. Oh God, we're so thankful that in spite of all the dumb things we do, you can clean us up. Lord, I thank you there is hope. And I pray that you'll work in every heart and life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, tonight is awards night. There'll be no games going on over there. Matter of fact, we're going to be doing stuff in here with Sean and you guys. But